Okay, ha gut gewacht. Sorry for our delays. Gute Woche. I think that today's share might be a little bit disjointed. I want to try to touch on a number of different things. First of all, I want to just what I guess we'll call our main subject. And to touch on a couple of things that have come up in questions and the like. If you sent me a question and didn't get a response, perhaps it'll be answered now. Otherwise, please be in touch. Let's first start our subject as follows, and it's going to be really a continuation of the theme we've been discussing throughout these weeks, and tying it into the where we are now in the year. I'm just gonna call it defensiveness, but I'm not of those who I don't like the mahalach of whatever it is you want to say, figure out how to ship it into the parasha or figure out how to ship it into wherever we are in the year. But the issues that we're discussing actually are at the core of pretty much everything. So let's see. Sphira. And well, actually, this mamish continued discussions that we've had Purim before Pesach, and now we're moving into Sphira. The idea of Pesach was to, discussed many times, was to re-experience everything that Hashem showed us back in Mitzrayim, not just for the purpose of appreciating our freedom, but for the purpose of getting to know Hashem. That was really the essence of what went on in Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we've discussed. Again, I'm assuming that everybody here, unless you're mamish new to us, is already familiar with these concepts. This was Hashem's way of introducing himself to us. And therefore, Hashem makes such a big deal about it. It makes a very, very big affair out of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, constantly keeping conscious of Yetzias Mitzrayim, having that super focus on the Leil HaSeder on Pesach, because it's really about remaining connected to Hashem in the way that he introduced himself to us. This is the basis of our relationship with Hashem. We move from Pesach straight into Sfiras Oreim. And here, I want to quote a very fundamental Ramban, a very famous Ramban. Perhaps we've quoted it here. If not, I should have. The Ramban says as follows. We saw the awesome spectacles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, one Makkah leading up to the next, culminating in Makkas Bechiras. That culminating, Makkas Bechiras was one of the most spectacular things ever seen. But then that went on to peak at Kriyas Yamsuf, even greater spectacle, ultimately leading up to Har Sinai, which was the greatest event that ever took place since Bria'as HaOlam. And the Ramban says as follows: the purpose of the very great miracles is that mitoicha nisim hagdolim hagluyim. I don't remember precisely the words, but to this effect, atomakir banisim anistarim shebehem hakadosh baruch hu. Meaning as follows: the way Moshe Shapiro puts it is, these great nisim can have an effect of fireworks. What are fireworks? Dazzling, amazing, awesome, and then it's gone. And you can remember it. You can remember what you saw. So, but that's not what we want here. What we want more is like, I guess the mashal, the way I'll say it is like this. You're trying to light a fire. You want to get a grill going or a bonfire, whatever it is. So you come with one of these torches to make some big flame. But the idea is not just to have that flame in the moment. With that flame, you want it to catch on to a little bit of tissue paper or something that should then be able to catch on to the twigs, which should then be able to catch on to the bigger things, and you should have a fire that's ongoing, even if it's not as big as the initial blast. So the Ramban says that what Hashem is trying to do, kaviyochol, by making these spectacular miracles, is to signal you to then go and realize, see me in everything. I'll put it this way. Hashem made a Kriyas Yamsuf. You saw Hashem in action. Where do we want you to go with that? Not just to remember it and try to hold on to the inspiration. But now to use that to then see Hashem in your breakfast the next morning. Now that I've experienced Hashem at Kriyas Yamsuf, I suddenly start seeing he's actually signaling to you, really, I'm all over the place in your life, just that it doesn't strike you in the same way as Kriyas Yamsuf strikes you. You need help opening your eyes to see it. You need help becoming exposing yourself to it. So this is what Kriyas Yamsuf is there for. This is what the very spectacular Nes is there for, to signal you to say, oh, whoa, so that's really what's happening. Breakfast, lunch, in all of my different body, all of my different physical systems, in all of my life, and in all the events of my life. I suddenly start seeing the Yad Hashem everywhere. And that is, the Ramban says, that's the purpose. And he goes on and says, strong words. He says that the hidden miracles, meaning, again, here you need the schooling of Chavis Halvavis in order to appreciate the significance of these hidden miracles, right? We need the Chavis Halvavis back in Shara Bchina to be opening our eyes to all of Hashem's involvement with us on a regular basis, everything that's going on in our lives all the time. The Yetzias Mitzrayim is there to give you that flash that then enables you to start seeing Hashem everywhere. And he says it's in order to open you up, to open your eyes to the Nisim HaNistarim, what we're calling the hidden miracles, to which Hashem is really conducting all of your life, all the world. And this is really where Hashem wants you to be living. And then he goes on and says, very strong words. He says, don't consider yourself, you can't consider yourself as having a chelek in Teras Moshe, as having a, as being an enlisted member of Teras Moshe. Until we appreciate that everything going on in our life are nisim. What do we mean by nisim? What we mean is Hashem kivyochol personally implementing them in your life as an individual or in our lives as a nation on a national level. Ain b'hem teva klal. Just one moment. Ain b'hem teva klal. It's not a system of nature. And this is what the spectacles of Yetzias Mitzrayim are meant to connect us with. Question.
So it's understandable when you think about your digestive system and all the things that are going right. But let's just take some of the world news that's not going good. So you have the US betraying us, every foreign country betraying us, the UN ruling against us, you name it. I mean, every world power is now turning against Israel.
Okay. I hope to get there. The UN ruling against us is not really part of the discussion. That's Derech
Yeah, that's true.
HaTeva.
And limits come
Okay.
from
But
the
Emitz Hashem, I hope we'll get there. The UN is doing what we expect them to do.
Yeah, it's not
Okay.
good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
This is where we're heading. This is where we're heading. Okay. This is where we're heading.
and for the nations of their life, everything they want.
Okay. So let's see. Let's do this methodically. Let's talk a little bit more about the Yetzias Mitzrayim. The day after Yetzias Mitzrayim, we start counting the Oyrim. Right? The day after, second day of Pesach, we start counting the Oyrim. What's the idea? So there's the famous Chinuch, which we'll just, I want to bring this into the picture in order to get somewhere else. Really, this deserves its own elaboration. But he says that the idea is our clear understanding that Hashem didn't take us out for the purpose of, okay, you were in Mitzrayim and now you're out. If that was the idea, just to break the shackles, we didn't need the whole process of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hashem could have made a shift in the political winds in Mitzrayim. Paroi would have been woke up with more liberal inclinations, and he would say, guys, I'm letting you go. It would be very simple for Hashem to do that. And we would have been out, and that would be it. The idea, so we all understand, was something much, much, much greater than that. The idea was not to pull us out of Mitzrayim to outside of Mitzrayim. The idea was to pull us out of Mitzrayim to, like what we saw, to carry you on wings of Nisharim, bring you above the whole physical world, and to bring you on to that sphere of it's you and Hashem. This is what we describe as this is the opening psukim in Shir HaShirim. Vashcheni acharecha na'utzo haviyani ha-melech chador. Say Hashem, pulling us. That was what happened in Mitzrayim. He gave us a yank out of Mitzrayim. And what followed was acharecha na'utzo. Now we are running after you. Meaning after Hashem did everything that he did, so it wasn't like, oh, great, now we don't have to serve the Egyptians anymore. It was much beyond that. It was, whoa, now we're connected to him. That was really the main effect of Mitzrayim. Hashem, who showed us all this, is actually connecting us to him. He's giving us that opportunity. And this was what came afterwards. This is what the Sfirah Soemer is. We don't want to just remain, okay, now we're out. But is this really going to turn into an eternal bond with him? And therefore, we immediately start counting toward Har Sinai, toward the wedding, Kiviyachol, toward the wedding. If Kiviyachol, we'll put it this way, if Mitzrayim was the engagement, so like an excited kala, we start counting toward the actual wedding day. With the understanding that without that, virtually all of the meaning of everything that happened was pointless. We didn't need 10 makas, we didn't need kriyas yamsuf. And on the contrary, we'll never be satisfied with just going on to life as free people, that's all. After we were exposed to what Hashem is, that now took over our being. And this was the acharecha na'utzo. Now we are running after you madly. And then this culminates with, so that's what it says in the Sfarim, Moshcheini, you gave me a yank. That was in Mitzrayim. And then as we moved into the Midbar, and the 49 days of the Sfira is Acharecha Narutza. We are just running after you. That's what the 49 days of the Sfira was. After we were exposed to all that, we're spending these 49 days trying to bring ourselves up to par to ready ourselves for actual marriage with Hashem, the mind-boggling thought. That's why there are many expressions of the Zohar, comparing it to a woman purifying herself for her husband, comparing it to a woman adorning herself, beautifying herself, getting herself ready for that great moment, which culminates in the moment at Har Sinai of Haviyani HaMelech Hador, the king drew me into his innermost chambers. That's what happened at Mitzrayim. And the whole experience in the Midbar was being lifted above. The Midbar was a place that couldn't sustain life. That Midbar, as a Midbar, Golgo Vanara, places that people describe that people never traveled there. Wasn't the place that sustained life. Even the desert travelers didn't travel through those areas. That was the whole idea. Hashem is showing us, I'm moving you into a different plane. You are now floating above the physical world. Just one moment, and I'm moving you on to that different plane, different zone for all the rest of eternity. Question.
One word the Rav hasn't mentioned yet is Torah.
Oh. So the Torah, the culmination of all this, and this is really our understanding, that what we understand, you know what, let's put it this way. I've mentioned a number of times. But first, let me answer your question directly, and then I'll put it that way. But, oh, so our understanding was that if we really want that relationship is going to require a very detailed recipe of how a human being can actually connect with Hashem. And that was our understanding in the first place. We haven't really gotten there until Hashem does this, that immense taiva of handing us on a silver platter down to a T, the full recipe of how a human being connects with Hashem. That's the taiva. If we'll put it this way, you've mentioned a number of times that Rabbi Avigdor Miller used to say that the Torah is teaching primarily three primary overarching lessons. Everything else plugs into those three, everything else in the Torah. Lesson number one of the Torah is Hashem. Know about Hashem. That's absolute number one. Lesson number two of the Torah is that we are his people, that we interest him more than anything else in the universe. In fact, the universe is simply revolving around us. If you saw that little video that I sent out from Avigdor Miller, that's what he is stressing there. Then you say number three, that he actually doesn't mention in that video, but he says lesson number three of the Torah is that that relationship is through the Torah. So in Mitzrayim, we were introduced to principle number one, principle number two. So who Hashem is. We saw that we are, he's choosing us. But it was all for the purpose of, okay, but now it's going to be up to us to nourish that relationship. And therefore, we start counting toward Matan Torah. We start counting toward Matan Torah. Okay, this is all very beautiful. But here the Chinuch comes and says, but something seems to just come in and seems not to fit with this whole picture. Where does the count actually start? What does the Torah latch the count to? Torah doesn't say that you count from Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it's also the next day. What are we actually counting from? Whole different concept. Korban Omer, a barley offering. Where does that come in? So the Chinuch says as follows. You know, I'm gonna cut straight to the point instead of going through all the intricacies. What is the idea of the Korban Omer? What the Korban Omer represents, the Chinuch tells us, is, and here we seem to be moving on to a completely new track. Momentarily, we'll come back and connect the dots. But the Chinuch tells us that the Korban Omer is, it's the new crop, right? It's the new crop. It's basically an expression of, wow, Hashem, you're showing us that you're going to be supporting us for another year. You're showing us that, again, you're going to be supporting us. We don't take it for granted. Well, of course, you know, is the cycle. Now's the time for the barley to sprout. The barley is from the earlier things, I guess, exactly. But the barley is from the earlier things, and we are acknowledging through the Korban Omer that we are, wow, you're giving us this gift of sustenance. Again, you're renewing our source of sustenance. That's what the Korban Omer is expressing. And we begin the count there. Well, I mean, what has that got to do with everything we were just talking about? So here we come and connect the dots. Chaim Friedlander makes this point in a strong way. It's exactly what we've just been discussing. We saw Kriyas Yamsuf, Soitzias Mitzrayim. We are overwhelmed and awed, and we're awed by the thought that Hashem is actually bringing us into a relationship with Him. But where does that take us? That takes us to, oh wow, that's also the food on my plate. Like we said before, Kriyas Yamsuf is aimed to get you to a place of seeing it in your breakfast the next morning, literally, your food. Now, wow, this is the same Hashem. This is the same Hashem, feeling Him in all the different aspects of your life. And here we come back to the theme that we've been discussing over these last few months, and we're going to keep harping at it. No need to look for novelties if we can really stick to the heart of the issue and really just try to develop it. And that is that Hashem is giving us these months a privileging us to a course of being able to see, like the Ramban said, the world is not run by Teva. The world is not run by Teva. The world is run by Him. More and more to be moving into a world that we are relegating ourselves to His control, recognizing it, internalizing it, living with it comfortably. Seeing this in all these different ways, where we would have considered the natural courses of events failed, both in the positive sense and in the negative sense. What should have been positive courses of nature didn't play out. What should have been negative courses of nature also didn't play out. I'm contrasting, you know, what we saw half a year ago to what we saw, let's say, Shabbos a couple of weeks ago, with the hundreds of missiles, very sophisticated missiles, very powerful missiles raining down. But you know what? It wasn't so amazing because we're already used to the idea that missiles get flicked out of the sky. We've been living with that reality the whole time. But you know what? This is exactly what we're talking about. So I made a little demonstration. 300 was sent our way. I think it was 300, right? Something like that. No one, no casualties. One dropped in Jordan. And what happened there? A few people were killed. One. There was nothing. Injured. And she's back home now. Now, so this is all part of Hashem showing us, just see through the meaningless vehicles of nature. I'll use those things. Sure, we have an iron dome. Baruch Hashem, we have sophisticated defense systems in place, but Hashem says, don't let them take on a life of your own in your eyes. Bear in mind that they're under my control. I'll use them to protect you when I want. They won't protect you when I don't want. As sophisticated as they are, we keep seeing the holes. We keep seeing the holes, and we keep seeing the miraculous salvations. Just that we don't want to get swept up after the quick declarations for the successes to be attributed to, oh, look what we did here, look what we did here, look what we did there. So you want to take it the next step further and go to people are understandably disturbed about the attitude of the nations of the world, which seem to be swinging back and forth. They're excited about the attitude of the nations of the world 6, 7 months ago. Now, very let down by the attitudes of the nations of the world. But you know what? We've discussed this a number of times. Don't put your emotional energies there. Realize that they are just as much meaningless pawns. Just see through them. That's right. There's going to be crazy pendulums. Why? Because Hashem is showing there also. It's not about them. It's not about them. We've already discussed how the seasoned Jew doesn't get thrown by, doesn't get emotionally thrown by displays of anti-Semitism. That's right. That's how the world works now. B'chulei, b'chulei. But
Don't even know how many are alive. With these videos showing that they're starving to death and beaten, and it's just so painful.
right, you're right.
I mean,
I'm
it's just so painful. And maybe the world's forgot about them. Okay, you can ignore the world, but we haven't forgotten
you know
about
what?
them.
Let's get there too. Let's get there too with plenty of humility and care. Right now, I'm talking about the bigger picture. When it comes to, and here we do have to differentiate between the bigger picture and the particulars. The particulars are much more difficult to even attempt to try to work out. The bigger picture, we have clear guidelines as to how to relate to them. When it comes to the details, we don't. And there we go back to Mishpatecha Tohim Rabbah. It's on that level that we say that we can't really understand Hashem's ways. Nevertheless, I want to make a point, and we'll get there. But again, back to the broader issue, to the broader issue. This is another place of Hashem showing us. You got excited about all the support. You got excited about all the support. Look how it's nothing. But now I want you to turn around and be able to be comfortable with that too. Be comfortable in a world that I run. Be comfortable in a world that I run. Be comfortable being in my hands, even though that crutch seems to have disappeared and that crutch seems to have disappeared. If you utilize it rightly, then I'll be the crutch instead. The Pasuk already calls, relying on the powerful nations of the world who promised us that they're going to be there for us, Mish'enes HaKoneh HaRatzutz. A reed is not something you should put too much weight on. But here Nach calls it a beaten up reed. Don't lean on that. Don't lean on that. Realize that when Hashem decides, he's going to use them. No, Hashem decides to pull them back. There isn't really anybody there. Okay. Now let's take this to the next level and perhaps approach the painful subject that you just brought up. Not in the level of how are we supposed to understand it, etc., but in a different sense. The knowledge of those people suffering, the knowledge of our brethren who are in danger. We have the people who lost their lives. We have the people who are suffering. We have the people who are out there in danger, the soldiers. That puts a different demand on us. We'll call it the next layer of what we've been discussing here. We're not trying to figure out, we're not trying to explain. There's a different response. And that response is being there with them. Tall order. What's that? Being there with them. Much, much, much easier said than done. Much easier said than done, and to the extent you almost feel like, don't even say it. But let me just make this point. We've been talking about using the great spectacles to start seeing Hashem in a very live way, to seeing his involvement. Let's note something. Birkas HaMazon is comprised of four brachas, right? The first three are Deoraisa. First three are Chiyuv Min HaTorah. The fourth was added on by the Chacham. What are the first three? Hazanes HaKol, Noideh Lecha, and Ra'acheinu Na. What are the broad themes of those three? Hazanes HaKol is thanking Hashem for all the food. Noideh Lecha is thanking Hashem for all the food and other things too. What's the difference between the two? So Hazanes HaKol is more of a recognition. If you look there, it's less about thanking, more about recognizing. We see after I had a meal, I'm opening my eyes to where it came from and seeing how Zanes HaOlam Kuloi B'Tuvai. I'm recognizing that Hashem is busy feeding on immense scales, feeding the world. Tamid Leichosalana. After I had my meal, I'm seeing how actually this was always Hashem. How many meals have I already eaten in my life? Try to think a little bit. How much food have I eaten in my life? You try to picture the mountains of food just you've eaten in your life. Hashem provided all that. Hashem provided all that. So you're opening your eyes to it. This is what we, along the lines we've been discussing. You're letting it hit you, the awesomeness of it, the immensity of it. Kael zanu mefanes. Kael means chesed with immense might, meaning waterfalls of chesed we've experienced in terms of it. In Noideh Lecha, we move on to another track and we start moving to the personal level. Thank you for everything I've gotten for you. And now I'm suddenly starting to see. I'm taking note of the various chasadim I've gotten for Hashem. I saw his might. I saw how much chesed he's showering me with. I'm thanking him on the personal level. And then we move into the next bracha. What's the theme of the next bracha? Racheinah, pleading Hashem. Have Rahman is here. Have Rahman is there. Rescue us. Save us. Protect us. Where does that fit into the whole theme of Birkas HaMazon, which is about recognition and thanks? Where does that fit in? Where it fits in is that if there's something that we feel like we desperately need, we direct that need toward Hashem. So sometimes tefillah can come in kind of like a certain hopeless kind of way. It's like a certain desperate kind of way of nowhere else to turn. So by default, kind of like, what else can I do? I'm going to daven, right? I told you about so the grandmother talking to her little granddaughter, a young little girl, and she said, "You know what Gamzu L'Toyva means?" So the little girl said, "Yeah, it means oh well, right?" So in a similar kind of way, you know, you say Hashem Yazor. We don't want that to be an expression of okay, what can you do? Chas v'shalom. When you just saw Hashem in action. And you saw Hashem's immensity and his might. And you say, now you turn around and say, wow, so Hashem is so involved, so native. Now it's with that mindset and that conviction that I want to turn to him and say, okay, so please help out over here. Please have Rachmanis there. It's dafka coming off that exposure, seeing Hashem's great chesed, and say, okay, please extend it. Please extend it now to those suffering in Klal Yisrael. Think of the suffering captive. Think of the soldier who's in danger. Think of Klal Yisrael in general, standing now, like you said, a sheep facing off against 70 wolves. And think of all that, and they say, we've seen Hashem in action. We saw Kriyas Yamsuf. We see the immensity of Hashem providing lechem l'chol basar. So Hashem extended to there. It's an expression. Where does it fit into our recognition of Hashem, into our thankfulness? It is an expression of what we really internalize what Hashem could do. And that's why now we're taking it and saying, so Hashem, please do this. This is also why the Gemara makes a big deal about following Shemoneh Esrei, right? Both in Ma'ariv and Shacharis, not in Mincha. But in Ma'ariv and Shacharis, Shemoneh Esrei comes off describing the experiences of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Smichas Geula L'Tfila, it's called in Halacha. You want to approach your supplications to Hashem. After you've already, again, you've again brought into your mind the picture, the awesome pictures of Kriyas Yamsuf, now you go and beg Hashem for your needs. So it's a tough avodah, but that's what it is. To the response to that is about remaining connected to the pain, suffering along with this, like we said before, these easier said than done. Let's say it and say it again. Really try to connect to it and to be not letting up in terms of our tefillos. Not to be constantly renewing ourselves with the conviction of how much Hashem is showing us of his involvement, and to say, if so, take it that step further. Take it that step further. Never to be settling for, okay, the process is, the way it works is, Rahman al-Islam, that there are going to be, I don't want to say the words, but in a war, there are going to be, no. We want to stop before that and say, no. We want to be davening to Hashem. We know that you can do it without any. So we're asking, Yoshev Eliyahu, we're sitting the safety that we've experienced of the missiles falling and hitting a dome. What's that dome? What's that dome? That dome is Yoshev Hashem hovering over us like this, Kibyachal spreading his wings over us, almost like the Anan covered. We're experiencing that and saying, asking Hashem, extend it there. Let's see it there too.
So you daven for that, but it doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen to stay three more soldiers die, four more soldiers die. You don't want to ask for it because then you just feel disappointed or.
So this is the challenge. This is the challenge. We don't see the way it works now. Until Amir Hashem will be zeicher to the full clear gilui, is that you don't see the tefillah aimed against that, and that happens immediately as described. The way it works is that it goes up through a filter and comes down through a filter. We are seeing our tefillahs being answered. We are seeing Klal Yisrael be protected. We've seen many instances of look, Klal Yisrael's tefillahs are being answered. We have to look at that. We have to look at all the families that remained whole after that night of all the missiles raining down. And to be able to see that Hashem is responding. Do we know what's actually going on there? We have seen some people come home. We've seen that it can happen. You also have to take into account that what does their morning tonight look like? Rahman, it's hard to spend time thinking about that. We should. But do we know what our tefillahs are doing in that respect also? I try to think that. When I'm davening for the captives, not only the absolute of, but also let their coming day be more rather than less. Think in those terms also. There's many things that go on that we don't necessarily see, we don't see directly. We're not going to have, I shouldn't say we're not going to have, but generally we don't see the immediate and direct result of our tefillahs. But we certainly have been experiencing tefillah is being answered. And on the contrary, we want to be noting that in order to give ourselves that chizik to keep davening. And yes, even when it's hard, realize that after a few days of feeling let down, if you push through another tefillah, that tefillah carries more weight because it requires you to muster up more amunah. Okay. There's so much more to be said.